I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here. Welcome to the visitors. Glad that you are here to worship with us as well. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The title this morning is Taking Our Thoughts Captive. And I struggled with this message for two reasons. One reason is when you start thinking about our thoughts and where they come from, and it's a really big subject, and it can get confusing really fast. As you think about thoughts and our mind and all that goes into that. And so I struggled on that end, and I also struggled because this is an area that probably all of us struggle with, and including myself, it's an area that I feel very inadequate to preach this subject because of my own struggles, my own failures. But I feel like God has been working in my life, and I trust that He can work in your life as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read verses 3 through 7. We're not going to spend a lot of time here at this passage. We're going to look at a few other passages as well. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So this passage in our text verse, and the title comes from verse 5, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This passage infers that we are able to control what we think. You and I are able to control our thoughts. Now, there's an aspect that we cannot control what comes into our mind. And I am told that we think approximately 70,000 thoughts per day. Many of these you don't think about, that you even thought about it. But 70,000 thoughts in a day, and over a 24-hour period, that's a thought every less than 1.25 seconds, just a shy under 1.25. It's a lot of thoughts that go through our mind in a day. And as I thought about thoughts, I had to ask myself the question, what are thoughts? Where do they come from? What can you dissect somebody and find their thoughts? No, we can't find their thoughts. Wikipedia says there is no generally accepted agreement as to what thought is or how it is created. Thoughts are the result or product of either spontaneous or willed acts of thinking. Okay, so a thought can come in two ways. It can be a result of either spontaneous thinking, something that just it comes into your mind, or the willed act of thinking. You can think about these thoughts. I'm just going to read something out of the, I'm not even sure where I found it, but in my studies I came across it. Thinking allows humans to make sense of, interpret, represent, or model the world they experience and make predictions of that world. It is therefore helpful to a being with needs to accomplish those goals. And so, thoughts are very complex. Thinking about our thoughts, where they come from, and what they are soon becomes very, very gray. And no one agrees where thoughts actually come from, what all ingredients go into making a thought. And so questions quickly pop up in my mind. What is the difference between our mind and our brain? The Bible speaks about speaks of what we think in our hearts. How do addictions affect our mind and our thoughts? Where do our emotions and our feelings fit in to our thought process? How do they affect our thoughts? And I will quickly admit that I know very little about the science of our minds and our brains. I know very little about that. And some of these questions, my goal this morning is not to answer these questions, but it's just questions that come up in my mind as I consider the subject. But we are talking today, what we are focusing on today is our ability to think and to reason. And so, finally, we want to narrow it down to what we understand is what we think, what we know that we think, what comes into our mind and what we choose to think upon. I believe that thoughts can be triggered by many things, but I believe that thoughts are triggered by our five senses, and it can be based on our past experiences. So you smell something, and right away, a thought pops into your mind. That reminds me of something back then. That reminds me of Thanksgiving at Grandma's house. You smell a certain smell. Or you see something, and you say, that reminds me of something else. And we use that term quite a bit, actually, that reminds me of, and we're going to say what that something that came into our mind through one of our five senses triggered a thought, and we thought of something in the past. Our minds are very complex and very smart. And this amplifies the importance of what we feed our body's mind, what we feed our mind through our five senses. Beings that our thoughts are triggered and fed by our five senses, it becomes very important what we feed our mind through our five senses. The more we sin, the more we expose ourselves to sin, and the stronger the temptation. We understand that. And the more we have the mind of Christ, I believe the easier it will be to win future temptations. And we have the song, each victory will help you some other to win. And so we have this pattern that forms. But regardless of where thoughts come from or how they are formed, we know it is very clear in the Bible that we must have the mind of Christ and that we must take every thought captive. That we have to decide what we're going to think about and what we can choose what we are going to allow our minds to think on. Our bodies and our minds have been created by an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God. And as I looked at this subject and the complexity of it, it soon got so confusing to me. If you start studying into everything that goes into that. But I found comfort in the fact that my body, including my mind, was created by an all-wise God, an all-knowing God, and an all-powerful God. And he knows exactly what it is that forms your thinking habits. He understands fully, better than you understand, why thoughts come to your mind that do come to your mind. And while our thinking patterns may be hard to break at times because of past sins, because of past experiences, we have a God that is more powerful than all that. And so today we want to take every thought captive. But first of all, I want to think about this idea that the disciple of Christ is called to a high level of thinking. The disciple of Christ is called to a very high level of thinking. The Bible speaks several places about our minds and what we think. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." A very high calling. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start reading at verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Okay? Keep in mind the subject that we're talking about. "That ye walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." We'll stop reading there. Today, we are surrounded by Gentiles, like it talks about in verse 17, who walk in the vanity of their mind, who allow their minds to run, who will feed their flesh by thinking upon anything that will feed that feeds their flesh. They will lust, they will hate, they will be selfish, and the list goes on. And these thoughts dwell in their minds, and they let them run wild. They walk in the vanity of their mind. But Jesus says that we have been called to a higher level of thinking. We have been called to a much higher level, as we are God's children this morning. If we are a child of God, we cannot walk in the vanity of our minds, but we are to have the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2 calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we're going to come back to that verse later on. We're going to focus a little more on that. But considering this thought that we are to have the mind of Christ, okay, it's very clear to us that we are to have a higher level of thinking. We're to have the mind of Christ. Now think back to your thought life in the past week. Are you ashamed? Are you surprised at what all thoughts came into your mind? And you are called to have the mind of Christ? Would you be nervous if I would install accountable to you on your brain? Most of you know what accountable to you is, but accountable to you is a software that you can install in a program, and you can have a report going to whoever you choose that can see exactly where you've been on your phone, on your computer, and it tracks in very great detail. How would you feel? How would you feel if this morning you knew that a program was like that was installed on your brain? And your accountability partner, whoever that is, would get a daily log of everything that goes across your mind. Well, we have been pre-programmed with accountable to God in us. And for myself, it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to forget that God can, He knows our thoughts. And we somehow think that we can feed our flesh and our minds through our thoughts. And we dwell on thoughts because we think, well, as long as those thoughts do not manifest itself in any way, it doesn't matter. But this morning we have a program pre-installed in our minds, and God gets that report. He knows exactly what we're thinking. And we have to remember that we cannot always control the thoughts that come into our minds. But we also need to challenge ourselves this morning. Where are you in your thoughts? Where am I in my thoughts? Solomon, the wisest man, said that what we think in our hearts, we eventually become. And this can be very good and upbuilding, or it can be very sinful and very destructive. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and let's start reading at verse 14. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entereth into him, that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, from the people, the disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart and into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We'll stop reading there. But here Jesus explains that evil thoughts come from within, an evil heart. And we have to understand that we live in the flesh. We live in the flesh, and we are going to have evil thoughts that are going to tempt us. Because I believe that we can have a good heart. We can have a heart after God and still be tempted with evil thoughts. But we need to evaluate ourselves. Where is our heart? And at the core of this whole subject is, where is your heart? Because if we have a heart that is not right, if we have a heart after ungodliness, if we have a heart after unrighteousness, then we're going to have thoughts of ungodliness. And so this question of where your heart is this morning is at the core of the subject of our thought life. There's a quote that goes like this. You probably heard it before, but it says, Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And so we see where an evil thought can lead us if it's not in check, if we do not take care of it. We also need to understand that taking our thoughts captive is going to be a lifelong journey. We'll never get to the point where we will never struggle in our thought life. We'll never get to that point. It's a lifelong journey. Satan can adjust his tactic to fit any age group. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager. It doesn't matter if you're a grandpa or a grandma this morning. Somehow, he tries to inject thoughts of doubt, fear, discouragement, selfishness, lust, depression, vengeance, pride, jealousy, and the list goes on. And he tries to inject these thoughts into our minds. Well, for the rest of the message, I would like to look at six helps and how we can overcome ungodly thoughts. 6 points. First of all, we must have the desire. I know it's very basic, but I see this in my own life sometimes. Sometimes we struggle in our thought life, and we can't get victory in our thought life, it seems. And yet, like I said before, maybe there's a sense where we enjoy the struggles in our thought life. And I may have shared this story with you before, but I'm going to share it again. A story of the young man that struggled with depression and anxiety. And this story fits for any type of struggle. But this young man traveled all over the world talking with counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists and very wise people all over the world, telling them his story and all his hurts and trying to get help, and no one could help him. But one day he went to an old man that lived back in the hills in a wooden cabin that was known to be very wise. And for several days this young man lived with him, and he just poured out his heart and told the old man of his struggle and his anxious thoughts and his depressive moods, and he recounted past hurts and expressed future. And the old man just listened politely, and he left the young man talk. And finally the young man ran out of things to say, and so he asked the old man, "Well, do you have any wise thoughts for me? How can you help me?" The old man got up and he motioned for the young man to follow him. They went down a winding path that led to a beautiful lake. The old man took the young man to the side of the lake and he says, "Now get down on your hands and knees and lean over and look into the lake." The young man thought, "Well, maybe there's some sort of magic cure here." So he followed his instructions. And suddenly the old man grabbed the young man and stuck his head under the water and held him there. And the young man started struggling and trying to breathe, and he couldn't get his breath, and he struggled, and the old man just held him there. And finally the young man, he started feeling like he was going to go unconscious, and the old man pulled him up, and he gasped for air, and he sputtered, and he yelled, "What are you trying to do? You almost killed me. Are you crazy?" And the old man replied, "Perhaps. But when you truly search for the way to overcome your problems as you were fighting for air, you will become wise." And so the old man made a point to this young man that he really didn't want to overcome his problems. He really didn't want to get over his anxiety and his depression. And so that is the first step with overcoming our problems. Do you want to? Do you have a desire? Do you really, deep down inside, want to? If I struggle in my thought life, am I enjoying it? Or do you want to get over, or do I want to get over my problems with my thought life? Do we use our thoughts to allow ourselves some liberty to feed the flesh? Others cannot read your thoughts. I cannot read your thoughts right now. But God says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." And so this morning, God knows your heart. He knows if you want to have victory in your thought life. He understands. He understands if you do have a desire and you struggle in your thought life. He understands your heart, that you want to get over that. But he also understands if you're enjoying it. God knows that. No one else does. Secondly, we must have a renewed mind. Turn to the very familiar passage of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read the first three verses. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so this is another very basic point, but we have to have a renewed mind. Being transformed means that we are changed from the inside out. It means that we change inside, and then everything else changes because of that. Victory in our thoughts have to start
from a transformed
heart. We have to be changed. God has to change us from the inside out. And I know this morning I'm speaking to a crowd that has been transformed, but it still is a very basic point. We saw before, we talked, that Jesus said that evil thoughts come from an evil heart. And God has the power to change our hearts, to transform our hearts. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, we see that a carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans 8 and verse, I'll start reading at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And this morning we said before that we are living in the flesh. We are living in the flesh. We are going to have struggles as long as we are in the flesh. But if we are living in the flesh, like it talks about here, and we are not living in the Spirit, then we will not have victory in our spiritual lives. But if we live in the Spirit, I believe we can have victory in our thoughts. Number three, we need to accept ungodly thoughts. I know this sounds backwards to what I just have been saying. But let me explain. If we struggle with ungodly thoughts, it means that we're in a warfare. If you're struggling with ungodly thoughts, it means that you're in a warfare. And we're not going to get into the subject of a warfare. We had a message on that recently. But if we aren't in a warfare, then we are not a child of God. Ungodly thoughts are a form of temptation. It's the way that the devil tempts us. And we are to accept temptations with joy. James 1, 2, and 3 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And the commentary that I read paraphrased it like this, says, When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brethren, don't resist them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. You see, evil thoughts are a test. Evil thoughts are a test to our faith. Abraham's faith was tested when he was told to take his promised son, take him up into the mountain, and to offer him. His faith was tested. And our faith is tested by ungodly thoughts that come our way. Our faith is tested by many different ways. But one of the ways that your faith and love for God is tested is by ungodly thoughts, is in our thought life. And every time our faith is tested, it is an opportunity to confirm our love for God, just as Abraham did. He took that test, and he was faithful, and God said, Now I know that you love me more than anything else. And we can take this struggle in our thought life, and we can take it as a test, and we can say, God, I love you more than this temptation. And we can confirm our love for God. Number four, we need to crucify the flesh. I already talked about how we are tempted to dwell on ungodly thoughts. Because it feeds the flesh. And our flesh will automatically want to dwell on these thoughts. Our flesh likes dwelling on those thoughts. Thoughts of fear, of selfishness, of doubt, revenge, lust, self-pity, pride. Many of these things our flesh likes. And there are many passages that speak of crucifying the flesh. Romans 6:12 says, Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start reading at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so here we have the two contrasts. The contrast of the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And these things that it mentions here in verse 19 through 21, that whole list of things, all start in our minds. It's things that start in our mind. You see, Jesus said, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart." You see, these things that it talks about starts in the mind. Someone once said that for every sin that is committed, it is done twice. First in the mind, and first in the physical sense, or secondly in the physical sense. And again, this warfare must be in our minds. Crucifying the flesh is not simply avoiding strife. It's not simply avoiding the act of idolatry or adultery or fornication. That is not crucifying the flesh. Yes, that's part of it, but crucifying the flesh happens before that. It happens in our minds. It happens in our hearts. Has anyone been guilty of these sins listed in these three verses? Men, did you commit adultery or fornication this past week? Sisters, did you commit the sin of idolatry or strife this week? We say, no, we would never do that. But we have to remember that these things, our mind is important. That whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if we are not crucifying the flesh in our thoughts, then we are none of his. We were following the works of the flesh. Number five, we need to pray for godly thoughts. If you truly want to overcome ungodly thinking patterns, pray. Prayer is a source that we have to the God that created our minds and our bodies. We talked about in the opening that we serve a God that created each one of us, our minds and our bodies. And prayer is the source of power that we can receive from Him. No one understands our struggle in thoughts better than God, our Creator. No one has the power to change our thoughts better than God, the Omnipotent. And as I thought about this prayer, so many times we focus on our own struggle when we pray. We focus on our own struggles. And that is okay to pray for ourselves. And we should pray for ourselves. But it keeps that struggle right in the forefront. Don't be selfish in your prayers. Pray for when you are tempted in your mind and your thoughts. Pray for other people. Praying for others will help you connect with God and forget about your struggles. Pray for your family, your church family, the souls of men, a neighbor that's in need, the weak in the faith, whatever it is. And also, open up to a brother or a sister and ask them to pray for you as well. And that does two things. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much."
Open ourselves up and ask
for prayer. But also, when we share our struggle with someone, it gives them an opportunity to fast and pray for you, as well as it makes you accountable to them. And that can be very beneficial. Number six, have a plan in place to replace ungodly thoughts. If we try to get rid of ungodly thoughts and don't fill our mind with something profitable, ungodly thoughts are going to come right back. I already spoke of prayer, and this is a good way to replace ungodly thoughts. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you care to. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Here we have a list. We have a commandment of things that, as God's children, we are to think upon. Things that our minds should be filled with. These are things that we should focus on. And so you can take mental inventory of this past week, your thoughts. Do they fall into this category? Or do they fall into a different category that feed the flesh? The peace of God can keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We can commit ourselves to memorize scripture, poems, songs, memorization. Have a plan in place to replace ungodly thoughts. Memorization is a great way to fend off evil thoughts. When you are tempted, start memorizing scripture. And our minds are like computers. They can pull up that data whenever it's needed. If we go to the work of memorizing scripture, then we can use it when we are tempted. Well, in closing, I can't tell you that someday you'll get to the point that you'll never struggle in your thoughts. We will always struggle. The only day that will end us struggle in our thoughts is when we leave these earthly bodies behind and we get a new body. And then we'll no longer struggle with our thoughts. We'll be with Christ. We'll be with Him forever. And we won't struggle with this subject. But this morning, you have to be honest with yourself. I have to be honest with myself. Are you finding victory in your thought life? Am I finding victory in my thought life? Or do we give way to the flesh a little bit here and a little bit there in our thoughts? And we need to remember that God sees and knows our thoughts and the intents of the heart. We can hide from each other for a certain amount of time. We can hide our thoughts, but we can't hide from God. And we need to always remember that He knows and searches the intents of the hearts. Let's kneel for prayer.